AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
I'm not used to seeing him like this either.
How's this?
He got record label people with him, like major.
Yeah,
I'm like, Ron Stew with him. He's drinking wine.
Got to level up, man.
Freddie Gibbs, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you,
brother. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Feeling real good, man.
So separately out right now?
Yes, sir.
This is your first solo major label deal? That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my first major album that I put out, period.
What made you decide to do that now?
Lambo, my manager, really, to be honest.
It was supposed to happen before.
Yeah, and my partner, Norvay, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's been trying to, like, sign me to a major for a long time, man. So, you know, it just worked out perfect this time. That's it. It was just a good business move.
What can they do for you that you weren't already doing for yourself? You already been nominated for Grammys.
I mean, it looked good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see it. You notice the change when I walked in the room. So. So, I mean, you know, it's definitely extras on that thing we're doing right now. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I got a record added at radio. I ain't never been that. I ain't never had none of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, top 20 Billboard release. I ain't never had that. So, you know, it's definitely changes been made.
Right. And sometimes it's nice not to have to do everything yourself.
That too.
And pay for everything yourself.
That too. It's always good to eat on their dollar. You know,
absolutely.
For sure.
You got a lot going on, Freddie Gibbs. By the way, I think the album is pretty amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Your music is never in question. Like, people know you make good music, Freddie.
Yeah.
But it's everything else that comes with it is probably what they...
Okay.
Question.
They don't question. They just
they don't question.
Have questions about.
Yeah, questions about.
Questions about.
That comes with being like very honest. You know, a lot of times people censor themselves about things that they might say.
I mean,
and
you know
haven't really.
I mean, you know, I'm from a small town, man. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it ain't hard to beef with me. You know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, a lot of people take offense to, you know, stuff I say and things I do, but, you know, we got to do something about it. You got to deal with me. Y'all going to feel me till they kill me. So it is what it is. I ain't tripping on that.
So why is the joke, though? Because people, you know.
I'm a comedian, man.
I don't mind the jokes. The jokes ain't shit. The jokes ain't nothing. The jokes is like, that's the violence. The jokes ain't nothing.
Oh, I don't initiate the violence. I just do what a man would do and just handle himself in certain occasions. I ain't never initiated no violence on no rapper. And, you know, if I did, you wouldn't know about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have problems with people, you know what I'm saying, that it went way too deep, right. You know? But I don't need to, you know.
Publicize.
Yeah, I don't need to publicize it. I think that, like, a lot of these guys that had issues with me, you know, they come in to fight with camera crews, you know what I'm saying? Like, we in the clout era, so it's like, you know, they thought it was a free pick, so they just want to, you know, do what they got to do to get their clout up. But I don't got to do nothing like that, you know what I mean, to get no clout up. Because, like you said, the music speaks for itself, my brother. You know what I'm saying? And we leave street stuff in the streets. I don't even get into that.
You said something on the album that was interesting, and I wondered, because I never thought about it, but you said you make people feel good about coming from Gary, Indiana.
Yes, sir.
And I was like, well, damn, I never thought about what impact did the Jacksons have on young black kids coming from Gary? I don't know.
It was definitely motivation to see the biggest musical family come from right around the corner where you from. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it wasn't really like a direct, you know, tangible impact, you know what I mean? But it's hard, man. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Gary's it's a tough place to be from, you know what I mean? And I don't go back enough, you know what I mean? Because I got stuff that I got going on and I'm trying to pursue. So I feel like I'm in a position now where I could go back and make changes, but I wasn't in the beginning of my career because I was still trying to get to where I needed to be.
I can see how you're more relatable than a Jackson is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Early on, you didn't like that, right? You didn't like the fact that people would say, you know, from the same place as the Jacksons.
Yeah, because you said that at the Double XL show. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I was mad then. I was like,
that's what made me not like you. You know that, because I didn't like you for a long time.
I ain't like you either.
I didn't know this. I've never heard you say that in my life. It wasn't actually
Double XL. It was MTV.
Was it MTV?
So when we had the show on MTV, you know how MTV writes the scripts. Mm-hmm. So on the teleprompter says, from Gary, Indiana, the same home of the Jackson 5 and Michael Jackson, Freddie Gibbs.
No, don't do it, Envy.
What was it? So tell don't me, because they wrote it out. What was it?
They wrote it out. And that's the way it was read. That's the way it was written. But you ain't saying it like that.
What he said.
You said like, Gary, Indiana, home. He was cloudy.
Oh, I can imagine. I believe you, Freddie. I know this nigga. Cloudy. I believe
that
you.
Like, yo.
I believe you.
So I took offense to that, but you know, we cool though,
man. This was like 15 years
ago. So why you don't like him? Because you messed up.
I didn't mess up. I said it the right way. He got on stage. I ain't fucking from Gary, Indiana. So, he said something.
No.
What? I know he didn't say that.
You just lied on him. I know he didn't say that.
It was something.
I know Freddie ain't. That's all he does is say he from Gary, Indiana.
No, it was something. I'm not from the. What did you say?
I said this light skinned ass nigga trip.
Word.
That's what I said.
Damn.
That's what I said. That's really like tripping, man.
So is this the first time y'all made up?
No,
I've been on the show.
We've been up here three times.
And by the way, over a span of 13 years. That's why I'm shocked. I've never heard you say like Freddie Gibbs. I've never heard that.
I got big love and respect for Envy. Yeah. Even when he didn't like me, I still like him.
That was a long time. We spoke after that. It was a long time ago, but it was like 14 years ago.
This is the silliest beef I ever heard.
All his beefs are silly as shit.
It was no beef.
This is silly.
I just didn't like something he said. Can I have my opinion not to like something?
I got beef with everybody, man.
I would say Envy's very sensitive. Would you consider yourself sensitive?
Nah, Envy light skin, man.
That's
he got a right to be sensitive.
That's
man.
Right. He's a stereotype. He's a walking beige stereotype. That's all it is.
As soon as I walked in, I said, my light skin brother.
That's right.
That's my brother.
Before that, we didn't speak.
We always speak.
I do want to talk about some things you did say on the album, right?
Okay.
So you and Jeezy, you talked about your own immaturity in that situation.
Correct.
So what made you come to that realization? Because this was something that for years you've had, you know, kind of a chip on your shoulder about it, but now you're like, you know what? I was immature. I wasn't ready. You even said you've listened back to some of those old songs.
Yeah.
And so
that was on Rabbit Vision. Mm-hmm. You said.
Yeah, I was just ready to just get past that in my career. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really, you know, me and Jeezy ain't never had no, like, physical stuff or anything of that nature. So it's just like, you know, like, we can, you know, I can move past that. That was just a business disagreement.
Did y'all have a conversation? Because you said some wild stuff about Jeezy back in the day.
Nah, we ain't have a real conversation, but we seen each other and we, you know, sometimes just, you know, a handshake is worth 1,000 words. You know, we shook each other's hand. He was with his wife, I was with my girl, and we just kept it pushing. We was in the airport. But I mean, the conversation can be had, but I don't even think if we need to, then
y'all
cool.
Over
but
that.
I don't have nothing against none of that. You know what I mean? Like that situation definitely made me stronger and made me a better artist. So, you know, I pay homage to dude. Even when I wasn't fucking with him, I was still bumping Trap or Die. Like I was, you know what I'm saying? I was still listening to the music. So,
but it made you a boss. In
yeah,
a way,
definitely.
Like
but I had to, you know, I had to level up, man. You know,
he said, I remember one time I had a conversation with him in an interview, and he said that it just really, you were upset because things didn't work out for you as an artist with him.
Correct. Like I said, it was just a bad, you know, business disagreement, mm-hmm. you know, but I took it too far and made it personal. And that's where I messed up at, you know what I'm saying? But I did that really to, you know, show younger artists, you know, under me, you know, that you can, you ain't no gangster unless you can keep your composure. And in that situation, I ain't keep my composure, and I let my emotions spill all over the place, and I shouldn't have did that.
What does the title Sold Separately mean?
Oh, man, really, this album just about taking risks, and, you know, life's a real gamble, and I've definitely taken a lot of risk in my life, man, so I just wanted to just get it out there, and, you know, like I said, this is my first major label album that I put mm-hmm. out, so I was working on it since I got the Grammy nomination, and I was like, you know what, if I don't come with my best album this time, then I might not have another one. So I was like, all right, let me really focus. So I really got focused on this, you know what I'm saying? Like extra focused on this.
You feel like more eyes on you now because of the Grammy nominated and the label. So now it opens you up to an audience you might not have had before.
Yeah, definitely. Like, man, I'm about to go on tour with the Gorillaz. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I'm doing, you know, I'm just trying to just create my own lane in the game, man, you know? That's it.
And an actor, Down with the King. Congratulations definitely. On that.
Actor and producer. Don't mm-hmm. forget that now. Like now, I'm definitely a producer on that film as well. We took that to Cannes Film Festival. So acting is cool. It's great. But, you know, I want to attack the film world the same way I attack the music industry. You know what I mean? I want to create things. I want to, you know, I want to be the producer. I want to be the director. You know what I mean? I want to, you know, just, you know, not do more than just acting, you know?
You was really out there, like, farming and playing with animals.
Yeah, we really did do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, them animals was real, too.
What did you learn from that experience? It was pretty funny and interesting to see you in that environment.
You know what, man? That was, like, that playing that role and doing that thing was real therapeutic for me because I was really on that farm for 2 months, you know, like, away from the rap game and all of that. And, it, you know, it was COVID. So, you know, it was a real difficult time, even shooting a film during COVID. Everybody on the set got masks on, you know. I had a baby on the way at the time, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, I remember, hey, Teresa, how you doing? I had to shout out my baby mom. But she was going in labor while I was on movie set. Mm. And, like, it was COVID, so I couldn't go in the hospital to see the baby. It was just a real wild, tumultuous time, you know what I mean? But, you know. Those times make you stronger, you know, as a family and everything.
He was on bus down
a lot. Got a lot of kids. I ain't going for Nick Cannon record, but
shit.
I'll get three. Just three. Okay. Nick Cannon got like 12 kids, man.
One of your children's mothers got really mad at you after this album came out because you named her.
Oh, it'd be like that, you know. People just get frustrated, you know. It'd be like that. You know, that was a time. But, you know, I spoke to her about it before it came out and everything, and it was a decent conversation. And she didn't get mad after it came out.
You know, yeah, because the way you explained it probably is not the way it came out on the record.
Nah, not at all. I said word for word that thing.
And she wasn't upset at all?
It is what it is, man. My baby mamas love me. I love them, man. It's all about raising the kids, man.
It probably hit different when the album come out.
It hit different when the album come out and everybody listens to
they're
it.
Hitting,
you know
yeah, they hitting her. Yeah,
it is what it is, man.
Because you did say you're about to squeeze Academics' titties. I love a fat bitch.
Yeah.
Where did that? Why? You got to explain that segue.
We were just talking about his childhood.
I need to know your thought process for that segue.
I see why you don't like him.
I need to know your thought process for that segue.
You talk about lines that you got to explain. You said, I love a fat bitch. Then you talk about Academics' titties.
Did you just call his baby mama fat?
No. I mean, my baby mom's not fat, but I do like.
I don't understand the segue.
You talk about lines that he has to retalk.
I do like fat bitches, though. That's my thing. I do. Like, I just blew a kiss to Lizzo, but she didn't look at me.
Where did you blow a kiss at Lizzo?
I seen her somewhere, and then I seen a picture on the wall that I went in serious, and I was like, man, I want to meet Lizzo one day. Everybody giving Lizzo a hard time, man. They need to leave her alone, man.
You ain't met Lizzo yet?
Nah, I saw her before, and I was like, hey, and she just looked at me, I was like, get your ass out of here.
Now, what's you and Academics, y'all just never gonna squash whatever y'all back and forth.
We can, man. It ain't nothing like that. You look, man, Academics is a person that I only see when I pick up my phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it ain't even, like, real. You know what I mean? It's like a some internet troll thing. You know what I mean? But if I probably only seen him in person, like, one time. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm a sensible guy, man. I ain't stupid. Like, we could have a conversation. You know what I mean? No matter what you said, you know. As long as you don't put your hands on me, anything's fixable.
I ain't even see it, but I saw something yesterday. Somebody sent me something. I don't know where it started, but he was like, you only... What he said, you got beat up twice this year, you only sold half your records or something like that. Nobody checking for you. Leave Big Ack alone.
That's all cap though. So I mean, you know, that's all cap. I mean, that's what academics do. Like I said, man, I gotta pick up my phone to see academics. I don't see him out here, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, he gonna push the narrative to his favor at all times. And he don't like me, so what am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? Like, somebody don't like you, you know, they ain't gonna say nothing nice about you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or they ain't gonna say the truth about you. So he can keep, you know, spreading the falsehoods. I mean, he said my brother was a district attorney. My brother's a gynecologist. You know what I'm saying? Like, the top gynecologist in Chicago. You know what I'm saying? So he's just like, I'm like, what are you talking about? So it's like, you know, like he gonna spread his own narrative. You know what I mean? He's like, man, your brother's a district attorney. He the feds. So I'm like,
my brother's a top gynecologist.
Like, I'm like, my brother has a PhD, my brother. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't. I don't feel. That's why I don't feel no way about nothing that he say. I just be like, all right, man, okay, cool.
Would you ever do his podcast?
I would. If he asked me to come on there, I'd go. I'll do it.
I think that'd be a good one.
Yeah, we got a hit for 5 minutes, and then we can go do whatever.
We go 5 minutes first.
Yeah, we go 5 minutes, then we can go. We can do whatever we need to do.
I never could understand how somebody could not like Freddie Gibbs. I mean, I get people get sensitive, though, if you say something about them. So I understand that part of it.
Yeah.
But it's always his jokes.
But you do have jokes.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know where none of this shit started, Freddie. I don't know where this shit with Benny started. I don't know where this shit with Jim started. I have no idea how any of this started. I even saw Benny recently saying that it just went too far.
What happened with Jim? Like, you always in New York. Y'all ran by each other millions of times. Like, that was weird, I thought.
I'm still in New York, despite whoever got an issue with me. You know what I mean? I think I'm about to give me a career out here, too. So, you know, I don't really,
where
you know,
did the issue start from? Jokes? Was it the jokes, or?
I don't know, man. I let street shit stay in the streets, and, you know, I don't got no problem with nobody that's, like, you know, doing better than me, so it's okay. I don't really worry about that. I let all the hate come from the bottom and just, you know, deal with it how it come with. You know, it is what it is. But people know who I am and what and who I'm with, so.
Did y'all really get into a tussle in Miami?
It was some stuff.
Furniture moving?
It was some furniture moving, but, like, ain't nobody really get, it was like a food fight or something like that. It wasn't nothing crazy.
That's
like
an expensive food fight in that restaurant.
Yeah, it wasn't nothing crazy like that. Ain't nobody get, like, you know, fucked up to that point, you know. It ain't nothing that, you know. People can't move past. We grown, man.
Do you feel like any of that overshadowed your artistry?
Nah, not at all. It just made y'all talk about me more. And my music is good, so it don't even matter.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're still getting all the great guest appearances. You know who I loved on the album? Raekwon.
Yeah.
And Chef. Impact. That song.
That was a great one.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite songs. That one and Rabbit Vision.
To get guys like Raekwon, Scarface.
How you convince Scarface to get back rapping?
That's my dog. Yeah. You know, me and Scarface real close. And that ain't the first collab we did. He collabed with me on Pinata. So it's like, you know, I look up to him. You know, I got a great relationship with guys like him and Bun B. You know, they was like some of the first, you know, big name features that I did coming in. So it's like they sharpened me up, you know what I mean? So I'm always going to pay homage to Brad, you know.
And DJ Paul.
Oh, man, that was crazy. That was a crazy studio session. I love DJ Paul, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was because when I was telling somebody this, like, when I was recording the album, I was in a real dark space. And that session really, like, brightened everything up. When he came in, he was just, like, happy, and, like, the song was fun, and it was just like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Because, like you said, I was going through a lot of stuff, getting in fights, getting into it. You know, I had street stuff going on, homies getting killed, you know what I'm saying? Like, legal stuff, you know? And I was putting all of that into the record. And then when DJ Paul came in, he, like, really, like, cheered me up, man. He really, like, lifted my spirits to help me finish the album, you know what I'm saying, in the correct fashion.
How you get out of the dark space? Is it through music?
Is
it
definitely. Music is therapeutic for me. Like, I don't really, you know, I hear you talk about therapy all the time, but I don't really like therapy like
you
that.
You tried it, right? You said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I tried it. I ain't really like it, man. My therapist was cute, too, so I couldn't get past.
So you flirting, though. She's trying to get in your mind, and you flirting.
But I don't like talking to dudes, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, I was like, all right, man, let me get out this therapy and just go make another album. So, you know.
But there's other ways to heal, though. Like, therapy is not the only way.
True. I might do like I did in the movie and just take a hiatus and just.
Mm-hmm.
Go on the farm, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, switching up the environment, man. Rap get, you know, it get kind of redundant sometimes. So you got to, like, you know, find other inspiration so you can, like, keep doing it. And I've been doing it for a long time.
That was the biggest thing for me because it felt like, you know, it felt like self-sabotage. I didn't know what was going on, but I'm like, damn, I see Freddie on Bust Down. I see Freddie on Power. Mm-hmm. He's Grammy nominated. Mm-hmm. So why the street shit now?
You know, like,
now, I know you come from that, but why now?
I wasn't, you know, I was chilling, man. All the incidents you see, I was just eating with my girl, man. I wasn't, you know, I don't think that, I don't go out, you know, trying to start nothing with nobody, but I got to handle my business. You know what I'm saying? Like, in any of those situations, you would have did the same thing I did.
No, I'd have said security.
He wouldn't have
handled my business.
But it was unexpected.
Well, I like to fight, so you know what I'm saying. So
he would have DoorDash.
I like to hit, so we can hit. You know what I mean? If you want to hit, then we can hit. I ain't ever going to back down from that. You know what I mean? And like I said, in those incidents, I had my girl with me.
Yeah, but so the one in Buffalo could have been bad.
Either
time could have been bad. You know what I'm saying? But like, you know, like y'all like everybody like naming like these rappers and stuff like that. But ain't no rapper ever hit me. Ain't none of them ever did nothing. They gotta like, you know, I'm not no little guy. So mm-hmm. You ain't about to just like run up on me. You gonna think twice when you know. I mean, I ain't Deontay Wilder or nothing like that. But
you just saw him.
Yeah, I just see him. I was like, damn, man, you just gotta be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you gonna think twice before you run up on me to, you know, do what you gotta do. You know what I'm saying? You gonna have to get reinforcements, and that's what everybody gotta do in every case. You know what I'm saying?
Why not have security?
We got it. We got it. But you know, I'm a man at the end of the day, man.
Bro, does this ever prevent you from getting like situations like shows, or does it prevent anything like? Endorsement deals? Are people like, oh, I don't know, it's a little risky?
Not at all. I got my own wine. You want some?
I'm drinking some.
It's hard.
So, yeah, I'm enjoying
it. Ain't nobody preventing nothing. That thing going real smooth.
Bro, you got to.
You know, if anything, they stopping themselves.
In one of your posts, you said you heard, you know, somebody saying, hit him.
Yeah.
You know, with the hammer. And, you know, that got to make you think. Like, you know, you got kids. Like,
The fact rappers is getting killed out here all the time. Not just rappers, black men, period.
So you got to think about that, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because you know, like you said, it could be somebody that's about that life or somebody that's dead scared.
Right.
One of them is, you know, it's a scary situation.
True. I've been in way worse situations than that, though. I'm gonna tell you the truth. You know what I'm saying? But I just handled it accordingly. So I mean, what can I do? You know, I can't make everybody like me, and I can't control if you bring 30 people to a restaurant with a camera crew to try to like humiliate me. But you end up losing.
You know what I'm saying? In Buffalo though, Freddie.
Yeah, and I ain't worried about nobody in Buffalo.
I would have stayed in this damn hotel, do your show, go home.
Nah, I ain't got to do that, man. Plus, that day, it was like a shooting in the city and stuff like that. And, you know, I was just chilling. I was around the corner from the show. I did what I had to do. You know, they did what they had to do. And I did my show. Like, ain't nobody stopping my money or none of that. Ain't nobody going to stop me from doing nothing. So, it is what it is. I'll be back there next year to do a show.
Can that be reconciled?
I don't know. You want some wine?
What's your infatuation with rabbits?
Oh, I'm the biggest rabbit there is, man. Shout out to my big homie Kenny Shine, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to the Lords, you know what I'm saying? You already know how we rocking, man, with the rabbits. You feel mm-hmm. me?
No, I don't. I don't know what that is. Now I think I get it. Now that you said that, I'm like, oh, okay.
Shout out to the big homies, okay, man. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I'm just chilling, man.
On Grandma's Stove, you know, you talk about, I think your dad dealing with stomach cancer.
Yes, sir.
Your thoughts of suicide, issues with your family. How was it unpacking all those emotions?
That album was like a suicide note. To be honest, you know what I'm saying? So it's better that stuff like that go on a record instead of like a real suicide note.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it was just it was stuff that I had to get out. You know what I mean? Like, you know, shout out to my dad. He just beat his stomach cancer.
Word. Oh, word. You know,
yeah,
that's dope.
Yeah, he got that taken out. He had Absolutely. That surgery. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that took a lot of prayer and a lot of, you know, patience. You know what I mean? And, you know, that was something that I, you know, that had me depressed for a minute. Because I'm like, I've been living in California so long, like, you know, I probably haven't had the closest relationship with my father the mm-hmm. past 10 years, you know, on my musical journey. But, you know, that cancer scare kind of like brought us closer, and I hated that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm talking to you more just because you're sick. That's whack. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that definitely made me depressed for sure.
Was he a present father growing up?
Of course. Yeah. All right, my dad's a great dad. Great dad. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing father.
All right.
I think we forget about that sometimes. Like, we go on our own journey and forget.
Yeah,
we
man.
We forget. We just think a phone call is good enough. I think Word. We all do that sometimes.
That ain't good enough, man. I gotta touch you. I gotta hug you. I gotta feel you. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, my dad was like, oh, man, it's just so difficult to see somebody go through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, stomach cancer is crazy. You know, cancer period.
Well, thank God he's you know, he's good.
Yeah, he's good now. He's good. He just moved to Vegas. He lit. He's singing. He doing his thing. My dad in the Shy Lights. You know what I'm saying? He be doing his thing. He been doing that thing for a long time.
Your dad really in the Shy Lights?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, he traveling member with the group.
Stop the cap, man.
No, I'm not capping at all, man.
He one of the original Shy Lights.
He ain't one of the original Shy Lights. But he in the group though. In the group and he doing his thing. But my dad like been dealing with music my whole life. He probably the reason I'm in music. He been like singing and doing all of that stuff and singing background for groups and things of that nature. Like he introduced me to rap.
Man, that's a dope ass family tree. Your daddy in the Shy Lights. Your brother's a top gynecologist in Chicago.
My dad the same age as Michael Jackson. So Michael Jackson used to beat him in the talent shows when he was kids.
Man, stop! Get down on the bullshit. I don't know if you're playing.
He's like Freddie Sang a little on the album.
I'm not lying, man. Michael Jackson and my dad both was born in 1958. They both from Gary, Indiana. They was both two singing ass niggas, and Michael Jackson could dance better.
Man,
that's why
I know your daddy got some funny ass stories.
I thought he was a police officer.
He got hella funny stories. Yeah. When I was a kid, he was. You know what I'm saying? Like in the 80s. But after that, he was like, man, fuck this. I want to sing because he kept seeing Michael Jackson being successful.
It worked out for him, man.
Let Freddie sing a little bit on this album.
I'm the king of R&B. I thought y'all.
Yeah, I saw that before Kelly Price started singing on the first record.
I like how you started off the album with that song. Couldn't be done. That intro was amazing, and Kelly Price on the album was unexpected. I had to take him to church, man.
I felt like I was in church when I made that song, man. Shout out to Norvay for getting Kelly Price on that. That was love, man. I appreciate her for that. Her voice was angelic on that.
You shouted out Dr. Umar on
it. Did.
I love Dr. Umar, man.
How can you not?
Yo, he's supposed to come up here this year. He didn't come up here yet this year, man.
Why not?
He was mad at you for something, though. He was mad at me because I was with Mike Tyson. Me and Mike Tyson was talking about like white women and interracial dating, and he was like, "Oh nah, brother Freddie Gribbs, you can't do that. You can't be, you know what I'm saying?"
Yeah, real man. I really want to meet because like when I was locked up, I was like reading like a lot of Umar stuff, and it was like I was like, man, when I was in Europe in jail, I wrote him a letter. Mm-hmm. He ain't write me back though. He probably don't even.
He get a bunch of letters,
he
man.
He might not got that. He would have wrote you
donation. If I would have sent him a donation, a coupon, or a gift, he would have wrote back. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, don't.
So you wrote him what the letter said when you wrote him.
I just told him that I, you know, admired his mind, and you know what I'm saying, was really paying attention to what he was saying. You know what I mean? I don't agree with everything he say, but you know, but that's like anything. But I really admire Dr. Umar for real.
He wanted to know why all your rabbits white.
Not all of them. We like all colors, man. We like all shades. White, black, Asian, all of that, man. Come on, man. You know?
I want to go back to the stomach cancer thing, because on the album, I think you said that it makes you think about your own dietary issues and stuff like
that. Right. Yeah. That's a hereditary thing. Like, after my dad got diagnosed with stomach cancer, I went and got checked immediately. Colon, all of that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And black man, we got this scared of the doctor mentality. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I figure,
especially for that colon.
Right.
That colonoscopy.
I think if my dad had been like doing this stuff at my age, he probably could have prevented that. But thank God that, you know, we got that out the way and he moved past it.
I got a colonoscopy consultation today.
Ah, they going to your butt.
Yeah.
Well, not today. Today's the consultation.
But
they will.
I got mine today too.
For real?
Mine is at 3.
I hope we're not going to the same place. I pray to God we're in the
same
place.
Wait, y'all are both going
to the 3.
I'm not saying what mine is, but it's around that time.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you this: you don't feel it.
It's not. We're not getting the thing today. It's just consultation.
Wait, Freddie, hold on. Please don't tell me you didn't feel it.
You don't feel it.
Oh, here come the
joke. They drug you or something, or they just lube you up?
Yeah, they drug the fuck out you, man.
Yeah, because you pass out. Yeah,
I went in that drunk anyway. I was like, hey, man, y'all going to do this?
Before you do this, let me have some wine.
Yeah, I was drinking wine the whole time, but they knock you out.
You're not supposed to drink before you get to colonoscopy.
They give you something to drink, I thought.
Yeah, but not alcohol.
I was drinking my own shit. Y'all had the,
y'all should have, like, colonoscopy parties.
Hush your noise, please.
Like,
what you talking about?
But they give you good drugs, man. You're going to go right to sleep. I was thinking, like, I was real scared. I was like, man, my butt going to be hurting when I wake up. It wasn't none of that. It was all good. I went home. They was like, yo, you just can't drive after this. Just have somebody drive.
Yeah, somebody with you. Yeah,
have somebody with me. I had somebody with me, and I was doped up all day. I was good, man.
Right on the plane after?
You ain't had no problems, right?
No, I had no problems. Okay, good. I was free and clear. I was clean. He was like, man, you're a very healthy individual, sir. I was like, thank you.
Oh, good for you.
And on the song Space Rabbit, too, you talk about you wonder if you're going to hell. I wonder if I'm going to hell or my soul obliterated. That stuff you think about?
Yeah, I be thinking about stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? When you live a past, like I got, you definitely think about stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I've seen a lot, dog. And, you know, I'd be like, man, I just be praying. Like, man, let me, especially like, you know, like you said, how dangerous this rap game is. And I pointed out something else on my album, like the Pop Smoke.
Yeah, that's in Grandma's Stove, too.
Yeah. When he got killed, I was like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, man, like, you, you work your whole life to get somewhere and be somewhere, and we buying these expensive houses and
he was in the hills, out the hills. Way,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and I got me a house in the hill too. So I was just like, man, if I can get killed up here, like, what am I doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I can go back to the streets to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
But if I made it all the way up here and I still get killed, oh man, that's crazy.
So how do you? Man, we had this conversation with G Herbo too. It's like, how do you celebrate your wins still dealing with that kind of PTSD and trauma?
You got to celebrate them quietly
mm-hmm.
with the people you love. You know what I'm saying? And like, out of the way. You know what I mean? I think that you know, it's just. With this rap thing, man, like you said, we want to celebrate and we get too inviting, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We open ourselves up to a lot of people and a lot of things, and we you know, we got to kind of curb that a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know?
On the song Too Much with Moneybagg Yo, you said niggas got way too many enemies. They got to be chewed up.
I said I got way too many enemies. I got to be chewed up. So,
chewed up.
I'm not carrying no guns.
Oh, okay, okay.
NYPD, I ain't got nothing
Absolutely
on me.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing on me. So, that's just some rap lines.
Now,
man.
You referenced your girlfriend a couple
just
of
rap lines.
You referenced your girlfriend a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
So, you also said that you had to cut off your whole roster. So how did you manage to settle down into a relationship?
You know, you just got to just be with somebody that's compatible with you, man. You know what I mean? That y'all both like the same things. You know, relationship ain't really nothing but like a friendship that you, you know, you just nurturing. That's it. It's just a friend you having sex with.
How do you know she was the one to cut off all those other relationships, like she said? How you know she was the one?
You know, you just, it's about being comfortable, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, you know, it's just certain people I can't trust and talk to about certain things, you know what I mean? And I just, you know, at the end of the day, you just need somebody to be comfortable with, man.
Did it bother you when they was bringing up her, I guess, I don't know if it's a past, I don't know what she was.
Nah. I don't believe in monogamy or nothing like that. So I don't believe in, like owning people or, like, people, like, sexual past or anything like that or what they do. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
But you don't believe in monogamy?
Nah.
So you have a girlfriend, but that means you still see other people?
I mean, we can see what we want to see. We can do all that together.
So it's an open, okay. Got you.
And they like so it's share. Open on both ends?
You can share. Hey, do what you want. I don't believe in, you know, owning nobody or telling nobody. That's just my personal belief. That mm-hmm. that may not work for everybody, but that's just me. I don't really get into that. You can't make me mad by telling me, oh, man, that girl sucked the dick 3 days. So what? Yours did, too. She just didn't do it over me. You know what I'm saying? So.
How long have you felt like that? Because I feel like you're a relationship kind of guy.
Nah, I know I'm not. And you know I'm not. You know I like a lot of girls. I felt like that my whole life. I was just probably scared to talk about it. Yeah, okay. I was hiding, you know. So I didn't, you know, that probably messed up my first initial couple relationships because I was just doing it, but I wasn't, you know, but I was hiding the fact that I was doing it. I was just like, yeah, I love you. I want to be because I thought that I was doing what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Like when I had my first child, mm-hmm. I got engaged. Because
yeah, we remember that because we all know her. Remember, we were on a TV show.
I thought
on
that,
Fuse.
But I didn't really want to get engaged, honestly.
Thought it was the right thing to do.
I thought it was the right thing to do because I was having my first child, and I was like, man, I got to be in the house with my child.
That's honorable.
But you know, it ain't that don't you know that's not always the right thing for you. Just because you got kids with a person don't mean you need to be living with them or being
that's
with
true.
Them. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't a slight to her. You know what I'm saying? It's just that you know we. Weren't supposed to fit. You know, I love her. You know what I'm saying? I love all the mothers of my children. You know what I'm saying? I don't, you know, we had disagreements and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, man, the goal is for the child to get where they need to be. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't, you know, all BS aside, you know, I do anything for the mothers of my children, anything mm-hmm. they ask of me. You know what I'm saying? So we can have gripes and stuff about my personal life and the way I live my life. But that's really all it is. It's not a knock on me as a father because, you know, my kids love me. So. You know, everything, every disagreement that we might have it got shit to do with my personal life. It ain't got nothing to do with the kids.
Don't you think when you got one woman though, don't you think things are a little bit more stable for you?
Nah, man, hell no, that's for you. like all the girls, baby.
So that's something that you have to. Yeah, I think if you're honest and a woman accepts that, and she's because sometimes women also try to adapt to what they think you want, but if she's okay with it and truly can accept that, and y'all are open.
Yeah, I just got to an age where I got to stop lying to myself and lying, you know what I mean? I can't do that.
That's real, though.
Yeah, I got to be honest, dog. I got to, you know, I'm at an age where, you know, I'm going to live a certain way and I'm going to have my way. And if you're not, you know, part of that, then you can, you know, go have your way somewhere else. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Now, with Soul Sold separately, having this as your first major label album, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you approach this differently than you've approached all your other projects?
Nah, I didn't.
Didn't sound like it.
Nah, I didn't. I did the same thing. The only thing I did with, you know, that I really, that, and I don't even think it was a reach. You know what I mean? When I did the record with Moneybagg Yo.
Too much?
Yeah, too much. They was like, oh yeah, this a radio record. And I was just like, okay, cool. I'm glad that I wet y'all whistle with that. Now leave me the fuck alone. So
you
I
got
can,
your record. Now, leave
yeah,
me alone.
Yeah, leave me alone.
Me.
They got a couple of records off this. You know, they got you know, a couple things they could work. Ron know what I'm talking about. That's why he like, yeah, man, nigga, we got some shit to do. That, you know, they,
I hate that
saying?
Mentality so record like, labels still have.
But nah, man, they got to do their job. You know what I'm saying? I get it. You know what I'm saying?
But so their job got to evolve and their thought process got to evolve. And what I mean by that is, what is a radio record in 2022?
I don't know. I don't care. I ain't never had a radio record.
I made records
and people told me that they can do X, Y, Z with it. So have at it. Either way it goes, you know what I mean? People know what I do. I'm still going to do a couple of tours next year, regardless, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I definitely didn't want to make a dud, you know what I mean? I wanted to make, I just came off a Grammy-nominated album.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the
weirdest
thing.
I want to go back to the Grammys.
It's like you put an album out. Let's say the album comes out, it's out, but, you know, let's say Lobster Omelet goes, Pain and Strife goes.
Right.
But the label be like, but those ain't the records. Let's go with this one. Why are you going to go against the people if the people have already chosen?
I think they're going to go with the people.
Yeah, they're going.
I would hope so.
I think they're going to go with the people, man. The people I work with, we smart. We got good people around us. Norvay Ron, we got good people. I don't think that. See, they let me come in and do what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I made the album I wanted to make. You know what I mean? There was nobody standing over my shoulder. You know what I mean? Like, oh, do this, X, Y, Z. Of course, it was pressure because it's a new company, a new, you know what I mean? New set of people you're dealing with. You know what I mean? You want to impress. But, you know, it's always been pressure on me in my career. So it wasn't nothing. It just made me rise to the occasion.
What's your favorite song on the album?
Man, it be changing up with my mood. You know what I mean? Honestly, right now, it's probably like CIA, Crack Instagram.
Crack Instagram and AIDS.
Yeah.
Crack Instagram and
yeah,
hey,
that's
what they gave us.
Right. Yeah, that's real talk.
Well, is that what you want to get into right now? You want to get into that joint?
If you want
I want him to explain that a little bit. Because when I was listening to it, I was like, man, that makes a lot of sense. Because I really do feel like people don't understand the impact that Instagram and social media period is going to have on us
right.
in the future. That shit is ruining us, bro.
And that, it is. And I said that, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I didn't necessarily mean Instagram. I ain't even got no Instagram. But
they keep kicking you off, sir.
Yeah, I think I got a new one. That
I used to tell everybody,
me,
follow Freddie Gibbs on Instagram.
Yeah,
they keep kicking
me off. But the clout thing alone is a bad drug. It's just as bad as crack. So, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we got guys doing stuff for the internet that they wouldn't do 10, 15 years ago. And you're like, oh, man, you did that, like, just for the clout? Like, it's crazy. So, you know, and AIDS is self-explanatory. You don't want AIDS. Even though they got medication for it, you still don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I made that record, man. I just want to show, you know, three things that was kind of detriment to the community.
Yeah, you at the end of it, you got the like the studio session where they realized what you said and everybody was laughing about it. Let's turn that to a song. That was real?
Yeah, that was Lambo and Norvay. We was in Miami and we was just laughing. He was like, all right, yeah, we're going to put this on the album. So it worked out.
And are you really doing stand-up comedy? Is that
a
real? You really going to pursue it?
I'm already doing it.
You got Jeffrey Ross out here. You got Joe Rogan on here.
Man, shout out to Sam J, Chris Redd. You know what I'm saying? And rest in peace, Jack Knight. But the reason that I was on that show, Buzz Down, is because I had a stand-up comedy show in L.A., and they came through, and they was like, oh, man, you funny. All right, well, cool. So then they gave me the role. So
who came through? Chris and Sam?
Sam, yep. Chris, yep. And Jack Knight. Rest in peace, Jack Knight. But
I remember when they first told me about that show. I don't know if it was Chris or Sam. And they were saying, you know, Gary, Indiana, Walmart. I'm like, you got to have Freddie on there. They're like, we got Freddie playing the store, man.
Yeah, man, I love them, man. They gave me a real opportunity to, you know, get in that comedy world. So, I owe all of that, you know, comedic stuff to them. You know, Sam J, for sure. You know, she definitely somebody that I look up to. My homeboy, Brian Moses, you know, he pretty much gave me my start in that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I love those guys. And, you know, it's great for me, you know what I mean, to be doing something else outside of rap, you know what I mean? I love growing up watching Martin Lawrence do a Def Comedy Jam. You know, that's something that I, you know, definitely want to get into hosting, you know, and giving, like, black comics and all kind of comics different exposure, you know?
Absolutely. Well, let's get into the joint right now.
And stay out of trouble, Freddie, man.
CIA. Oh, man.
Is that the record you really want to play? I don't know if that's the record you want to play for.
I said, what you want to play?
Oh, I don't know. What this record.
Pick a record.
Y'all, hey, man, what?
Too much.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast hosts Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.